PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. I am chilling in the Crespediso studio, and I'm doing my thing. We're doing a bonus episode. I got a lot to talk about, so here we go. We're starting with only the most important news, and then working our way down to least important. So, of course, most important, Schwarzenegger, Pratt, together, finally. Can you guys believe it? Yes, I am talking about Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger, daughter of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver. They've been seen they've been going on dates and stuff, and church dates. Part of the reason why Pratt and Ferris split up, Anna Ferris, is because Chris Pratt is very religious. He's a Christian fellow, whereas Anna Ferris is not. And for years, the two of them made their relationship work despite this difference of religious beliefs. But that is one of the things that ultimately factored into their splitting up, apparently. Excuse me, here we go. I did took some of my medicine right before the show. I started. It's like cuts it, you know. Yeah. Do you guys feel like crushed ice or whole pieces of ice? I don't like the crushed ice because then it gets in my mouth. I'm stuck with it in my mouth. Okay, here we go. Chris Pratt, Katherine Schwarzenegger, you know they're doing. There's like a 12-year age difference between them two, 11 or 12 years. She's in her late 20s, 20, 29. He's like 39. They've been going on some church dates. That's what Chris Pratt has in common with our boy Justin Bieber. Yay, the Biebs. Oh, I don't know about that. They've been seen like going to church a whole bunch, and then he's gone to her family dinners and stuff, and it's getting serious. Ooh, Pratt Schwarzenegger. Get used to it, guys. That's the thing. Also, this is kind of surprising. We talk about this a little bit on episode 296 this weekend. Ben Affleck, he's in Ben-Hab, the former Batfleck, no longer Batman. He's in Ben-Hab, doing his Ben-Habilization. Oh boy. And he gets to leave every day with his sober coach. He gets to go home and work out in his home gym with his trainer. And then he goes back with the sober coach to the rehab facility for the rest of the day. One of the times when he was out at his place at the gym working out, he met up with his new Playboy model girlfriend. Her name is Shauna Sexton. Oh, yeah. Oh, missed the button. The timing on that was terrible, but here we go. Sexton Affleck. What's that portmanteau going to be? Bexton Saffleck. We're going with Saffleck. Shaffleck. Shauna Sexton Saffleck. We'll leave this one to TMZ. She was seen visiting him at rehab recently. Oh, shit. I'm telling you, we're covering only the most important news here in Cinema Crespity. So, Shauna Sexton visiting Ben Affleck in Ben-Hab. Good for them. Good for them. All right, moving on. As I said, these stories get less and less important. Here we go. So, Danny Boyle, out. He was director of James Bond for the shortest time. So short, it doesn't even matter. He's out. They're looking for a director. We have a short list of potential directors. Apparently, Eon Productions and MGM have been meeting with some people. The latest people they've been meeting with, Bart Layton. Bart Layton is the director of American Animals. Drew and I saw that and reviewed it pretty recently on Cinema Crespity, so right here. And they also met with S.J. Clarkson, who is set to direct the next Star Trek movie. Contract negotiations still ongoing with certain stars like Chris Pine, etc., etc. S.J. Clarkson has become a high-profile name recently just by becoming the first woman to sign on to direct a Star Trek film. So she could then also be the first woman to direct a James Bond movie. Who knows? We'll see. Yan Demang, I don't know how to say it, Y-A-N-N, coming off of White Boy Rick, is meeting with them as well. Was interested previously in making a Bond movie, but there was like a scheduling conflict with White Boy Rick. So now that the James Bond movie's actually been delayed a little bit due to developmental issues, and White Boy Rick is now coming out here in theaters, Demang, how do you say it, is now available. So who knows, maybe that'll be what happens. Also for a minute there, Edgar Wright was in the running. That would have been interesting. Edgar Wright, James Bond movie. A lot of hip music choices in that. Moving real quick to streaming services. We're going back and forth here. This is on Amazon Prime. They got that Jack Ryan show. John Krasinski to play Jack Ryan on the show. Jack Ryan, who is a CIA analyst, met with some CIA folks and said in a interview with the Hollywood... What was it called? Going in expecting? I don't know what that says. Pretty much he was saying how like all these CIA guys are super professional and really cool and blah, blah, blah. He's talking them up. The quote doesn't matter. I just saw this as a way to remind people the CIA is like openly working with the producers of Jack Ryan. They give them access. They allow them to see certain things. And the only way the Jack Ryan can exist this way, and this goes all the way back to a long way. I've talked about this on a special Crespediso Film School bonus episode you can go back and listen to. The only way that they can get this far, get this much cooperation and content from the CIA is by giving them a final say in what the content of the show is. So the CIA has an active interest in using mainstream entertainment to, namely movies and TV shows, to portray what they do as heroic and patriotic and important as possible, as essential to our existence as possible. Meanwhile, you know, there's stuff like Zero Dark Thirty where, you know, it's like, look at these. But then there's a whole torture argument. Never mind that. Scratch the whole Zero Dark Thirty thing. There was CIA involvement in that as well. Be careful when you're watching these type of things, you know, like, oh, look, these people working so hard to protect us. I mean, they are in some ways, yes, absolutely, they are out there investigating stuff and stopping many attacks. And as a matter of fact, the CIA and FBI, especially the FBI, do a lot to, and this is in the news all the time, and it's always you see the headlines and they go away. I wonder why. Gee, they're stopping a lot of like sovereign citizens and oath keepers and these like white nationalists and like hanging out in the woods survivalist types. They're stopping a lot of them and their plots. A lot of crazy violent plots that they're coming up with, and they're stopping them. So they do some good, obviously, but they also don't do good. Just look at South America throughout the 20th century, and you'll see what the CIA, what they don't do good. So be careful when you're enjoying John Krasinski, Jim from The Office. He's all like, you know, I like the CIA. They're incredibly dedicated people and honorable people, and they're putting their lives. Yeah, of course they are. But the people themselves are fine, but the structure as a whole, they do some very questionable things. Some updates on The Predator. We've talked about this again in the last episode. Olivia Munn, she spoke to Fox. She found out somehow that she shot a scene with this dude who is a registered sex offender a friend of Shane Black, who he cast this person in a few of his movies after this offense. The offense is trying to solicit sex from a 14-year-old girl using email. So it's like, what is it? There's a very specific charge for that. And this was like 10 years ago, and Shane Black is just throwing this guy a bone in all these movies. But the thing is, as he's doing it, he's not telling the other people that he's working with, oh, by the way, here's my friend. He's a registered sex offender, but he's cool. He's my friend. Do you mind working with him, doing a scene with him? He's not giving anyone that heads up. And that was the big problem with this. So Olivia Munn was like, I don't want to be out there in a movie, in this big budget movie, with sharing a scene with a registered sex offender. This could come back and bite me in the butt. I don't have anything to do with this. This is not cool. So she spoke up. She went to Fox. Fox, within 24 hours, had the scene cut out of the movie. It was an inconsequential scene. And there is a joke, as a gag. He played like a jogger who hits on her biologist character or something. And Shane Black put out a statement, a written statement, saying that the his friend misled him in terms of the facts of the case and what the court records said, etc., etc. Pretty much thrown his friend under the bus here. This movie just played at the TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival. Shane Black canceled all of his public appearances, canceled all of them. He did not show up and do anything. Olivia Munn scheduled for a bunch of stuff, did what she could because she was contractually obligated, but a number of her co-stars canceled their appearances, their scheduled interviews alongside with her, like their co-interviews. They scheduled their side. She showed for her side. And at least one unnamed person, I'm sure it'll come out eventually, at least one person walked away from the interview when the question of her bringing up this whole thing with a sex offender came up. Someone walked away, like, I don't have anything to do with this. And then at the premiere itself at TIFF, when the movie was over, it got applause. It was cheered when it was done. But it received a standing ovation from only like the four or five male cast members who were there in attendance. And they did it as like a way of like solidarity. Like, as they said, you know, for Shane Black, like all the shit is going down, so we're here for you, buddy. And meanwhile, Olivia Munn's like, no one's reaching out to her to see how she's doing, if she's okay. And she's kind of freaking out because she's feeling very isolated. Sterling K. Brown is in this movie. He was not at the Toronto International Film Festival. Also, Keegan-Michael Key had to leave early, so he wasn't at that screening. He had to go home to celebrate. Key had to go home early to celebrate Rosh Hashanah with his wife. He had to fly all the way back across the country, across the continent. So Sterling K. Brown on Twitter reached out to Olivia Munn and said that he wasn't there, but he says, let me see, I got it down here. I'm sorry you're feeling so isolated, my dear, and I'm sorry you've been, because you know how Swinky Brown is, and I'm sorry you've been the only one to speak up publicly. I was not at TIFF, so I didn't have an opportunity to be there with you. There are two main issues as far as I see it. First, what is and is not forgivable, dot, 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 and then it continues. I don't know why he's got to, like, weigh in on that side. He's just gotta just be like, yo, I'm sorry I wasn't there. And then Olivia Munn was on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Olivia Munn, I would not be surprised if she just leaves. She's going to leave. She's not going to act anymore after all this because she's just talking all the shit. She's putting it all out on the table, and good for her. Apparently, after she went public with what happened and she put out a social media post, I believe is how it all started, Fox people got in touch with her, mad at her, being like, what are you doing? Why are you stirring up shit? We cut the scene. We took action. Why are you making it a public ordeal? And they set out to make her feel like the bad guy. So Olivia Munn already turned around, throwing it back in Fox's face on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And, I mean, Fox was Fox matter anymore. What do they care? They're getting bought by Disney. They're getting swallowed up like Jonah in the face of the whale. Ow. It's done for them. So, anyway, Olivia Munn standing up for what's right, about to lose her acting career or walk away from an acting career. She's really going to sacrifice it. Something that she really loves doing, enjoys doing. It helps her connect with so many people in such a cool way. She's a geek at heart. Got to be in an X-Men movie. I mean, how do you beat that? And because of all the bullshittery, because she stood up for what she believed in, you know. And then you know what's going to happen? Shane Black's going to make another movie. Probably going to cast this dude in it. in some small room. You lecture. Watch it happen. Watch it happen. Netflix user reviews. You know, no one uses websites anymore. Apparently, that's what I've been told. Go to chriscrespo.com for all past episodes of Cinema Crespi. So also, all the stuff that I've written, most of the stuff that I've written, it's all on there. You can read it. PFTmedia.com, full of great stuff, like the debut of The Major Scale, hosted by Kyle Eagle. What a good guy. Good show. Netflix.com was the only place where you could leave user reviews and actually see user reviews. And they've been doing that since Netflix.com was a thing. Up until very recently, they took down the user reviews and the way to leave them. Now it's just thumbs up, thumbs down. They say it's because of declining interest in the use of the reviews and that they just got rid of it for that reason because no one's using them. Weird reason to get rid of something. Other people are thinking, someone came up with the idea that the reason Netflix took down user reviews is because they tracked them over time. Over the last few years, the average user review on Netflix has dropped from 4.5 to 3.2, specifically original programming. So we're talking about going from when Netflix only had House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, two other shows, and they were getting great reviews, to now, when they put out so much stuff that they muddied the waters and the average reviews are pretty terrible, but the user reviews are getting really bad, Netflix was just like, we gotta stop this. So they just took away your option of even leaving a user review. Because instead of making their stuff better, they took away your ability to speak on the option. What do you think of that, consumer? Candyman remake, it's happening thanks to Jordan Peele. Looking like he's on a lot of stuff. He produced Black Klansman. CBS, I believe it was, approached him for the Twilight Zone TV reboot. He's working on that. He's got his own movie that he's making with I think Ruth Negga, and is it like Keith Stanfield, is it? No, I can't remember. Anyway. He's producing a Candyman remake. So, you guys Candyman fans, Candyman, Candy Can't. If you're a Candyman fan, hit us up on Twitter at Chris Bediso, hashtag Candyman. If you don't like Candyman movie, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Candy Can't. Hobbs and Shaw officially underway. It's being made. Can't wait for 2019. Gonna be probably my favorite movie of summer 2019. Hey, people, even if you're not a fan of the Fast and Furious movies, you may still want to get down with this one. And I'll explain why. Hobbs and Shaw. Hobbs is the Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character from Fast and Furious 5, 6, 7, and 8. Introduced in 5 as like the guy trying to chase down Vin Diesel's family. Trying to chase them down, and then by the end of the movie they come together to fight the more common enemy, and then they have sort of like a frenemy relationship for the next few movies. The whole idea from the get-go with Universal was Hobbs was getting his own spinoff. It's finally happening, but they just so happened to pair him off with Jason Statham in the last one. They're like, this chemistry is too good, we're going to put him with Statham's Shaw character. And the both of them are going to make the movie together. They're going to top line it together. And why not? It's a genius move. You got two guys. Instead of having one guy that can open a movie to max like $40 million, or another guy who can open a movie, and I'm talking about if it's just them by themselves, another guy can open a movie by himself, max $30, $40 million, put them together, you have like a $80 million, $100 million opening, throw on top of that the whole Fast and the Furious thing. This could be a $120 million opening weekend for a summer movie, which is no small feat, especially for a spinoff film for a series that's getting ready to come out with its 9th installment. So, Hobbs, Shaw, it's coming. If you're not a fan of the Fast and the Furious movies, why should you care about these movies at all? If you are a fan of action movies, specifically the action stylings of movies like John Wick, Atomic Blonde, and Deadpool 2, then you're going to want to see Hobbs and Shaw, because this movie is being directed by David Leitch. Leitch. This episode is all about how to pronounce weird last names. L-E-I-T-C-H. David Leitch went from John Wick to you. His own baby, Atomic Blonde. I love that movie. And a lot of people don't like it as much as I do. I think it's great. And I enjoy all the Tinker Tailor soldier spy type stuff. And then, of course, Deadpool 2. Oh, my God. I told you I hate crumbled ice. Goddamn crushed ice. Piece of shit. Deadpool 2. A lot of fun. Juggernaut ripped him in half. You guys should see that already if you haven't. And Hobbs and Shaw. I mean, come on. So much fun. Guys, get on it. Movie is officially underway in production. Coming out next year. Kit Harington. Jon Snow. On Game of Thrones. Yeah, the curly haired. The short curly haired fellow. The long curly haired fellow. He had an interesting quote. Who was he even talking to? What was this even about? I'm trying to get the actual. It's apparently he's sitting down with Variety to promote his movie, The Death and Life of John F. Donovan, whatever that means, whatever that is. And he has this quote about gay representation in big Hollywood films, specifically in Marvel movies, and not just as gay characters, but gay actors playing superheroes. So here we go. Here's a quote. There's a big problem. He has a bit of an English accent. There's a big problem with masculinity and homosexuality that they can't somehow go hand in hand. That we can't have someone in a Marvel movie who's gay in real life and plays some superhero. I mean, when is that going to happen? He's right, you know. I mean, we're now, the 20th Marvel movie, all these superheroes, and we're finally making a big deal about, like, hey, we finally have one that's a woman in the title, you know. Ant-Man and the Wasp, but we finally got there. How long is it going to take? The character doesn't even have to be a gay character, just a gay actor. Hollywood still has that whole, you know, hypocrisy thing going on there with, oh, it's liberal bastion of bleeding heart sensibilities, blah, blah, blah. But then we're all the like, out gay, like, mega movie stars. Oh, really? Because you're still trying to cater to the 30% of America who thinks homosexuality is a sin? So cool. So cool, Hollywood. Halle Berry. Halle Berry. Or Hallelujah. Making her directorial debut. She's making a MMA drama. Doesn't that sound wild? Based on a script by screenwriter Michelle Rosenfarb, Bruised will find Halle Berry as Jackie, a disgraced MMA fighter who has to face some serious realities when her 6-year-old son comes back into her life. Recognizing the importance of giving him a good life, she tries to get on the path to redemption by getting back in shape and trying to become the champion she always has the potential to be. Alright, so it's Rocky Mom. It's Rocky Mom. Maybe Rocky Balboa. It's somewhere between Rocky Balboa, but it's a mom. It's Rocky Mom. Directed by Halle Berry. Are you into it? If you're into it, hit us up on Twitter at Crespediso. Hashtag I dig Rocky Mom. And if you don't like it, hashtag no Rocky Mom. Let's wrap this thing up here. This is breaking news today. Looking like Henry Cavill is out as Superman. So long, Hank. What was that? 3 movies. Barely in Justice League. 2.5 movies. Henry Cavill, Superman, his time has come and gone. Part of the reason is apparently Man of Steel 2 continues to stall out in development while DC is plowing ahead with other movies, namely a Supergirl movie, probably partly because of the success of the Supergirl show on TV. They want to do a standalone Supergirl movie. And, speaking of how Marvel doesn't have any gay actors, DC does have Ezra Miller playing The Flash. He describes himself as a sort of like queer pansexual thing. And, what was the other one? Is this gaming or something else? Oh, on TV, because we're talking about TV. That's why I thought of it. On CW, Batwoman, Ruby Rose, gay actress, lesbian, playing an open lesbian super heroine. So, DC killing it there on two fronts. Whereas Marvel is still like, oh, we got a lady in our 20th movie. Good for you guys. Good for you. Henk Cavill out. Who is in? Rumored that this is in consideration, not even that this person's being talked to or anything, but just to give you an idea where WB is thinking with taking the direction of Superman from this point forward in the post Zack Snyder era. Rumored Michael B. Jordan is what they're considering, that type of perhaps. So basically, not what they've been doing since the 70s, since they've been making Superman movies. They want to try something radically different on top of their Supergirl movie. They are moving forward with Aquaman. If that does well, they'll keep making Aquaman films. They're still working on the Flash movie. They have a few pieces still in place. Ray Fisher recently said that unless they decide to put together a $200 million budget for a Cyborg movie, that might not happen. It's all about the budget and the money men. So it looks like the DC universe, quote, extended universe, that they started putting together haphazardly after they saw the success of Avengers, it's crumbling right before our eyes. We have Wonder Woman plowing forward. She's going to keep doing her thing for a couple more movies. We're getting a new Batman with Matt Reeves as director. Matt Reeves, who did the last couple of Planet of the Apes movies. And, there we go. Sorry, this one's for the DCEU. Pouring one out. So sad. Too bad, so sad. And there you go. That's it for the show. If you enjoy what we do, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate us and rate and review the show. We would really appreciate the help there. We're just sitting at 65 reviews. It's not going up. Come on, guys. Get us a 69. We're so close. And email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We have episode 297 this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. You guys are the best-ish. Best-ish.
A PFT Media production.